CU Today is supported in part by Arvis Bank. Arvis Bank provides personal and business banking solutions, financial management services, and consumer lending options across the region. Information regarding branch locations, mobile banking features, and operational hours is available online at arvis.com. Welcome to CU Today, the official podcast of Cameron University, hosted by President Dr. Shane Hunt. Each month, we bring you the Aggie Experience, featuring conversations with students, faculty, and staff about the exciting things happening right here on campus. CU Today airs the last Monday night of every month at 6:30 on KCCU Public Radio. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or visit kccu.org for more information. Now, here's your host, Dr. Shane Hunt.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of CU Today. I'm Shane Hunt, president of Cameron University, and I am thrilled to be joined today by CU accounting alum, Ted Blodgett. Ted, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Shane.
Well, Ted, we are so honored to have you here, and we're really doing kind of a special accounting episode this month, because I think it's such an incredible opportunity for students who are considering what they want to major in. And I wanted to highlight one of our successful alums in this field. But Ted, I always like to start when we have alums on the show and just talk about what led you to Cameron, what led you to want to major into in accounting, and then your experience while you were here at CU.
Sure. Well, I was led to Cameron because I moved to Lawton with my parents in 1972. My dad was a professor here.
Wow.
Yeah, my dad was the first dean of the graduate school.
That is
here
a great story.
At Cameron. And kind of such a small world. I was a younger child when Cameron won the national title in basketball, and I used to beg my father to teach night school across the street over here at Howell Hall.
Yep.
I think I have that correct.
You do?
Because I could tag along with him. And I would go over to watch the basketball games, and then he would come over after he finished class and join me.
That's
so great. I was ingrained in Cameron a long time before I started school here. And then I was fortunate, and I received a plus scholarship. Mm-hmm. I graduated from Lawton Eisenhower and received a plus scholarship. And I started here at Cameron in 86 and got my accounting degree from here in 1990. And I actually didn't start working instantly. I'm a lawyer also.
Yep.
I went from graduated at Cameron to go to the University of Oklahoma Law School and took my CPA exam while I was in law school. And so, as you can tell, that I had my accounting background kind of ingrained in me. The reason that I started in accounting is like anything else. If you find out that you're good at something, you get to where you like it. And I found out that both my econ classes and my accounting classes I was proficient at.
Yep.
And there seemed to be a better opportunity for career advancement as a CPA than there was working for the government in some form or fashion as an economist.
So I love everything about that. And you know, getting into accounting, and I love what you said, because I've known other people who have a dual kind of CPA-JD, which is an incredible combination for folks that are looking at that. But you've had, Ted, an amazing career. And we were talking off air before we recorded this. But talk a little bit about, you know, right now, as a partner of one of the largest, you know, firms in the country, can you talk about that a little bit and then work back and kind of show how your career developed? Because I always think that's good. I think people, sometimes students see you in your role now as a partner of this big entity, but they don't appreciate all the steps along the way that led to that point.
Sure. I got out of law school and took the bar in 1993.
Okay.
And went to work at the current firm I'm currently one of the managing partner of. When I went to work there were five people that worked there. And downtown Norman, small office, and I had a variety of roles, you know, from preparing tax returns, preparing compilations, to working on audits and director's exams for banks. And I look back on that, Shane, and I'm so fortunate that I actually did it that way, because I didn't get pigeonholed into one area. I took a little different route. Most people that are CPAs and go to law school go to work for a law firm and hang their CPA off the side. My former business partner, Rodney Gray, who said I should come work for him and learn how to do tax returns and kind of learn, roll up my sleeves and get into the world of tax and accounting. My law degree has been invaluable in that because I've been able to use some of the skills that I've developed there. In particular, I do a lot of business valuation work, Shane.
Yeah.
And you have to know how to do tax. You have to understand accounting before you can ever do that. I started doing this because the estate tax exemption used to be $650,000.
Yep.
And so people were using discounted entities to try to use gifting and estate techniques. Well, when you work for attorneys and these large law firms that do estate and gift, all of them have a separate division that does family law.
Yep.
Divorces. And the divorce lawyers found me, and I had a natural knack because of my background as a lawyer to testify and to educate the court about our opinion and value. And that has parlayed into a pretty robust valuation practice.
That is fascinating, though, because like you said, both on the inheritance tax, but also just if you think about in divorces or things of that nature, there has to be a valuation of what those dollars are in order for people to divide those.
There has to be. And we've been able to use that as a leverage point to get specific industry knowledge. And that has increased the capacity of our firm.
Wow.
And our firm has grown from being five people to having approximately 30, 16 CPAs.
Incredible.
And recently, what you referenced earlier in your question, we have merged in a strategic partnership with a group called Springline, which is the 44th largest CPA firm in the nation, and it is owned by Trinity Hunt's private equity group, and we are the first one in the Oklahoma City metro. I think Ross McKinney did it in Tulsa as well.
Okay.
We're the first one to do the PE route with the alternative practice structure. And we did that just this spring. We decided we were gluttons for punishment, and we did the due diligence and all of the closing at the same time we were trying to get done with April 15th.
It's amazing, Ted, and it's amazing what you've done. And you know, you were talking about some of the access that you guys have now being part of that larger firm. Can you talk a little bit about, when you think about that career and starting with five people, how has the accounting profession changed? So you hear a lot of things right now about, you know, whether it be the number of hours for people to sit for the CPA exam, whether it be the different areas. You know, you'll have people say, I was a business school dean for 8 years before I became president here. And, you know, I would have students ask me, you know, should I target this type of firm or should I target that type of firm? And my thought was always, you want to find what's a match for you and what you want to do. But just asking, how has that changed? And maybe your thoughts on the different types of firms and what you students might should look for.
Sure. I would encourage students to be comfortable wherever they go to work. There's nothing wrong with going to work for a Big Four firm. I'm with Springline and with GBC Advisory. We're a BDO alliance firm, which is the fifth largest firm in the world.
Yep.
We're an alliance firm with them. If that's what you think you want to have your career in, go do it. If you want to have a broad knowledge, then you need to find a good local firm. Like, I'm blessed. I've done audits. I've done tax returns for banks and mom and pops that bring in, you know, all the retired documents. I have the whole spectrum. The most important thing, I think, for a student to do is they want to go into public accounting, is to go ahead and get their process started to take the exam. That's probably the biggest change. When I took the CPA exam, it was offered twice a year at the Myriad, which has been bulldozed, which in some ways that's okay with me because that's where I took the bar and the CPA exam. The fact that building's gone is okay.
I did not know that they did that there.
Yeah,
that
they did
is,
that in the exhibit
I remember halls. Being to the Myriad. I did not know they did that.
That's where I took the CPA exam and the bar. But they used to offer that, and you had 3 days in May and 3 days in November, and you better enjoy them. Now they're able to take these as modules where you have different sections. And the biggest issue we have now is without having the structure, we have a difficult time getting some of our younger team members to actually complete the exam. And there's a pipeline issue within accounting. I would tell your students that are in just business that if they wanted to ensure that they had a job, that accounting would be something to take a look at. I'm not telling it's not for everybody, but you're going to be able to get a good job and have a nice career if you finish up and become a CPA.
And Ted, you mentioned this, and I just want to just talk about that. That is a huge thing that maybe people that listen to this don't fully appreciate, is the shortage right now and the pipeline challenge we have with accountants. So you have a lot of people who are like, well, I don't know if this works out, or, you know, AI is having this impact. To me, accounting is one of the leading fields that if a student wants to provide themselves with maximum opportunities, it's a place that does that.
For sure. And I have good friends that are CPAs that work for banks, that yep. work in industry, that work in public accounting, that work for family holding companies. I have never had anybody tell me, I'm sorry I passed the CPA exam.
I have not either.
I've never heard that.
Nope. Never once. And you know, I've heard people say that CPA is the three most important letters in business and the opportunities and the doors that open. So, you know, Ted, as we wrap up, I wanted to ask this. So you were a Plus Scholar. I get to teach the Plus Scholars freshman class every year. We just did our Plus Retreat last month with all of our 27 new Plus Scholars who are going to be joining us this fall. But for the Plus Scholars or for any of our students, whether they're thinking about accounting or not, what advice do you have? Because I think a lot of those students want to take Cameron and build the kind of life and career that you have built. What advice would you have for them?
I would advise to become well-rounded in what you do. And I always tell people, especially young people, that when my son played and I coached a lot of those guys, I would tell them the most important thing you can do at Cameron or any other school is use a schedule,
yep.
have your time allocated. You have plenty of free time when you're in school. You don't realize that till you're not in school, but you have plenty of free time. But if you would use your schedule and pick your moments and become well-rounded, that's really what I'm looking for. I don't necessarily care who had absolutely the best grades. I don't care who aced all the tests. If I have someone who is competitive,
yep.
opportunistic, and eager to go to work, that is about half the battle. I always tell people that being a CPA or being a good lawyer, it's a perseverance, not intelligence test.
Hey, I just want to touch on that. I think that's such a great point because I agree with you, and I hope students take that to heart. College is a great time. I remember being a first-generation college student the first time, and I signed up, and they said, you know, this schedule, you'd have 13 hours. And I said, what does that mean? I didn't even know what that meant. They said, well, you go 13 hours of school a week. I thought, well, I was going to school 35 hours a week as a high school student. This seems like a pretty good deal. But just how critical that is, Ted, to be well-rounded in your profession, but in life.
Oh, for sure. And the more well-rounded you can get and the more that you get yourself set on a schedule that I'm going to treat this almost like a job during these hours, the better off you will be. And that's true when you go to work, too.
Absolutely.
Because you can play. I have this issue at my office, even with myself, that you can spend plenty of time just being busy. But if you comes down to where's your focus, what are you going to get accomplished, and what is your goal for even that day, that'll get you a long way. And I think your students here at Cameron, you know, at least when I went to school here, if I could go back in time, I would try to utilize that technique a little better.
Yeah.
I'm sure that hasn't changed.
No, and I would too. And I think that's a great thing. And I think being intentional about that while you're here, I think you'll reap rewards for many years to come for students that do that. Ted, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for the way that you represent Cameron. And we are very, very, very lucky and proud to have you as one of our alumni.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited about the things going on with Cameron, and this has been a real treat to get to come down and do this.
Well, Ted, we're thrilled to have you here. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back with accounting professor Aubrey Walton on this edition of the See You Today radio show. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this edition of the See You Today radio show. I'm Shane Hunt, president of Cameron University, and I am thrilled to be joined by my friend and colleague and professor of accounting and business law here at Cameron University, Professor Aubrey Walton.
It's great to be here.
Well, Aubrey, we are so excited to have you on the show. And I always like to start when we visit with our faculty or staff guest each month and just talk about your journey. So tell us a little bit about you, about where you're from, and the things that happened on your way to becoming a professor at Cameron University.
Sure. Well, I am a native Watonian. I graduated from MacArthur High School. My parents are native Watonians, and they both went to Cameron University themselves.
Go Aggies.
And so I went to Cameron, finished my accounting degree, went to law school at OU, and had every intention of practicing tax law or in the area of estate planning. and the opportunity to teach was presented to me in my very last semester of law school.
Wow.
Which I think is interesting, and I talk about this a lot with students. You can have your plan for your career and, you know, study the things you're interested in and pursue your passions, but oftentimes opportunities will arise that you don't anticipate, and I didn't see that coming. But it was so intriguing to me, and I was clearly interested in it. So I thought, well, I'll give this a try. And 24, 25 years later, I'm still here.
That's amazing.
And I love it. So
that is, Aubrey, that is amazing. And it's so true. So many people that we've had on the show that would say that when they started college, that what they're doing now that they love was not what they intended or what they started out doing. And just being open to those opportunities and seeing that. So let me ask this question. And people that listen to the show every month have heard me say this before. If God gave me 1,000 lives, I'd be a professor 1,000 times, right? It's the best job in the world. What do you like most about being a professor, about teaching accounting, business law, and those subjects?
I think I'm very service oriented. So getting to work with students every single day and watch them grow and watch their confidence grow and watch them start their careers and just being able to pour into them and encourage them really is the best part of this job. And especially at Cameron, I think our advantage is because of our smaller classes, we really get to develop relationships with our students. We know all of our students' names. We stay in touch with a lot of them after they graduate. And that makes this job here extra special for me.
It's incredible. And what you said, Aubrey, shouldn't be, I can't overstate that. In being here a year now, how many students that I know that will specifically, when I just, you know, meet them or talk to them, will talk about this professor, you know, helped me with this, or this professor introduced me to this person that led to an internship, or this person wrote me a letter of recommendation and support. Aubrey, don't you think that's even more important today than ever before? And I think it's something we do great here at Cameron.
I think we're great at networking. We all know is so important in business. And so many of our alums are leaders in the community, and they're very, very supportive of our program. And they're always willing to come back and talk to our students and connect them with opportunities. I think that one-on-one contact
is
an advantage.
I think it is, and I think it stands out today. And we've had a number of students who have transferred in from, you know, quote-unquote larger schools that have just loved that, and that somebody is there that knows them, that they know that they can go to with problems. And so I think that's an awesome thing here. So we were talking before we started recording, and I was telling the story about years ago, I was dean of a business school at another institution and had a wonderful alum who told me, he said, Shane, the three most valuable letters in professional life are CPA. And he said, if you have a CPA, he said, that opens more doors than anything else in business. And the gentleman had an incredibly successful career in banking, and I just, that always stuck with me. So can you talk a little bit, Aubrey, about the importance of getting a CPA? But also, I know that we've gone through some changes recently in Oklahoma as to the eligibility requirements to sit for that. Can you talk a little about those things?
Well, I completely agree with what you said, and we often share that with our students. We say, I think you said it, the CPA is the great equalizer.
It is.
And in our field of accounting, that is the credential that we have a lot of other credentials, but CPA is still the one that is most recognized and probably most valued. And so we spend a lot of time really encouraging our students to take that, prepare themselves for it, and to sit for that exam. Research shows that lifetime earnings are much greater if you have the license. We see in times of economic decline that if you have the CPA license, you're more likely to stay employed. So it's a very valuable certification and licensure. There are a lot of resources we have for our students for licensure. We are involved with the Oklahoma Society of CPAs. It's really great because they offer free membership for students.
That's a great opportunity.
And so there's a lot of resources there for them for preparing. But the licensure requirements recently changed in Oklahoma. They still want you to have a bachelor's degree, but you can now take the exam with 120 hours And it was that you had to have 150 hours to sit for that test. So I think that makes the opportunity more available for our students. So once they complete that 120-hour degree, they're now eligible from the education requirement. And so they've changed some of the experience requirements along the way. But in terms of what we do with them in the classroom, a lot of our students are now finishing their degree, taking the test, and then going back and finishing their 150 hours.
Yeah. And that 100, that change is just for this year, isn't it?
Yes, it just started.
I was about to say that was because I believe up until this past year, it was 150 hours in practically every state.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
So it just gives more pathways into what they're doing. I think another thing, Aubrey, that you know, I was mentioning the alum that I talked about previously. I mean, he went into banking. I think the other thing that maybe sometimes students don't appreciate is I've talked to our CPA alums, and yes, some of them go to work for a public accounting firm, but there's all kinds of things that they can do. Can you talk a little bit about some of that, some of your students and what they've gone on to do?
Well, we have actually, this individual was a peer student of mine when I was a student here, and I think he worked for a university in their pharmacy college in administration. We have graduates that work in hospitals. We have graduates that work in industry. We have graduates that go on and teach.
Yep.
We have graduates that have moved out of state and work in management positions that aren't necessarily accounting related. We had one graduate that worked for the Big Four and is in Australia right now. Started off at Sonic and moved on to Australia. So that CPA license is so well recognized, and accounting is considered the language of business. And it's, you can't really understate, I'm biased, but you can't understate, in my opinion, the marketability of an accounting education and licensure.
Absolutely.
And one of the changes recently following COVID is the number of remote jobs that are available for students. That's new in our industry. And so I think that's even interesting for a community like ours.
Yep.
Although most of our students are well employed in Southwest Oklahoma, the market has really expanded because of the number of jobs that you can do remotely.
No, it's a great time to be an accountant. I talked to Aubrey, one of our accounting students, the other day. One of our sophomore accounting students I was having a conversation with, I said, you picked the greatest time in the history of the world to be an up-and-coming accounting student, because I think the statistics I've seen nationally is after the pandemic, we lost like 400,000 accountants that retired, took early retirement, left the profession. The market for accounting, I have people every single week in the 1 year that I've been here, I have had people say, Shane, we need more awesome accounting grads from Cameron, and we are ready to hire them. It is an incredible time to be a part of it. And I'm going to, I always like to finish by asking, you know, advice that you have for current students, people that are listening to this, maybe they are accounting majors, maybe they're thinking about what major they want to have. But one thing that I'm going to add before I ask that question is just my advice in accounting kind of goes back to that question. Of all of the opportunities and avenues that are out there. And even within public accounting, I have had students over the years that have had wonderful careers in Big Four firms, right? Pricewaterhouse or Ernst & Young or Deloitte, KPMG, but I've had students that went to work for regional firms. We have a number of students at local firms all throughout Southwest Oklahoma, all whom want to hire more Cameron accounting alums. So I just would say my advice would be keep your options open, because with accounting and with the CPA, those options are truly unlimited. But Aubrey, what advice would you have for our current students?
As students, I would take advantage of that 3-4 year college experience, and whether it's an internship or a job shadowing or a field trip, as we sometimes call it, or going to listen to a guest speaker, I would absorb as many of those out-of-classroom experiences as I possibly could, because I think that's often what keeps a student excited. And we all come into a program of study, I think, with limited understanding of what our opportunities are. And the students I've worked with who've really taken advantage of the networking and the internships have I would say earlier in their career, been able to establish a pathway that they were excited about. And like you said, it is the optimal time to go into
great
accounting.
Time. Amazing time.
There is no shortage of opportunities to network and find these job shadowing type opportunities while you're in college. And of course, we work with our students to help them find those.
No, Aubrey, that's amazing. And that's incredible advice. And it is truly, that's really why we wanted to focus on accounting in this month's episode, because it is truly such a blossoming profession. There are so many opportunities for graduates. And Aubrey, our students at Cameron are so, so lucky that they get to have you as a professor. Thank you for all that you do at Cameron, and thank you for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Aubrey. Thank you, Ted. Thank you to all of you that listened this month. This completes 1 year of See You Today radio shows. I had a question from somebody the other day that said, Shane, how can we listen to previous episodes? I heard it on the radio. I want to listen to previous episodes. You can go to the KCCU website, and you can find all of the first year's episodes that you can listen to for free. And we encourage you to do that. It has been an amazing first year, and we're just getting started and couldn't be more excited about what we have ahead. Thank you all for everything. Have a great day, and go Aggies.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of See You Today with President Dr. Shane Hunt. Don't forget, you can catch us on the last Monday of each month at 6:30 p.m. on KCCU. Or you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify to never miss an episode. For more stories from the heart of Aggie Nation, visit us anytime at kccu.org. Until next time, stay proud, stay strong, and go Aggies. See You Today is supported in part by Arvis Bank. Arvis Bank provides personal and business banking solutions, financial management services, and consumer lending options across the region. Information regarding branch locations, mobile banking features, and operational hours is available online at harvest.com.